This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and ThisPipeLife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Wire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD!
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, man. It's 4th of July weekend, or I guess we're right on the front of it.
Yeah, well, so little time travel, of course. We record the show on Monday, which means it is 4th of July Eve, but when the show goes out in podcast form, it will be the day
after. It'll be
the
5th.
One way or the other, whether you're tuning in live or catching us the day after, happy 4th of July, 5th of July, 3rd of July, and to our Canadian friends, happy 4 to 5 days after Canada Day, which apparently is a thing.
Yeah, Canada Day. They have their own day.
Yeah, if I recall, that is the day that the Monty first saw the moose over the hill and apologized profusely and declared it Canada Day.
Well, you know, the Canada Day is for people with maple fever.
Oh.
Right.
Wow.
Sometimes you got the maple fever.
You've got maple fever. She's got maple fever. All right. That's enough of that.
We just lost all our Canadian listeners. Right.
No, we're very sorry.
If we ever had them, I don't know.
Yeah.
Happy Canada Day. Happy 4th of July. Of course, we celebrate this every year, and it's a popular time for folks to bust out the old grill and maybe some choice beverages, and of course their favorite pipe and favorite tobacco, maybe while they're sitting poolside or something like that.
Yeah, so. I'm just now realizing, once again, we miss a tremendous opportunity for barbecue and pipe tobacco pairing. Why didn't I people, they tweet in all the time with their pictures of their grilled chicken, their barbecue, their pork brisket. They've got all of it. And they're smoking their pipe while they're cooking it up.
I just, you know, I've got standards. You know, it's not that I'm completely against it. I will say you're wearing me down. Okay, you're wearing me down. Like at some point, you know, we'll do a barbecue.
How do you think I got married?
Well, but exactly. You know, it's at some point, you know, I'll just get so tired of this whole concept that we'll be like, you know what? Let's just order some brisket and ribs and get this thing done.
Oh my gosh!
And then we'll have a pairing, and we'll pair, you know, your favorite tobaccos with these barbecues.
Oh, it's coming, people.
And you know, just kind of get it over with. But just know the whole time there will be a little part of me inside that will die just a little bit.
Yeah, your cholesterol. It's going to be delicious. It is going to be delicious.
Yeah, the part of me inside that will be dying will be me.
Well, man, no, we've...
It's great.
Do you have any 4th of July plans?
Man, I don't. Actually, some of my friends have invited me just over to their house tomorrow afternoon, and so I'm going to go over there and get by the pool and probably have a few cold beers and smoke a pipe.
Man,
that's it. That's it. What you got going on?
So we discovered earlier this year, and we've never known this before, but apparently my dog, Isley, her birthday is the 4th of July. We got her medical
records.
What a
patriotic little dog.
Isn't that amazing?
Oh, man.
She's a great dog, too. And so
she's a good pup. She's a really good-natured dog.
Yeah. And I know a lot of people, most people, I would imagine, don't necessarily celebrate their dog's birthdays or anything like that, but some people do, and a lot of times you celebrate the day that you adopted the dog, kind of like, you know, that's when they join the family. Well, for us, we're like, oh, well, this is amazing. She was born on the 4th of July. I mean, it sounds like someone should write a song about it. It's a dog born on the 4th of July.
Oh, I mean,
that's a country music song right there.
You named it Isley, but she should have been named, like, you know, I don't know, Betsy Ross or something.
Well, we could have gone down that route.
You know, Martha Washington.
But no, man, so we're... the kiddos have actually made
a ridiculous name for a dog.
They've made little puppy masks, and we've got kind of a special bone treat for her and all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah, it'll be fun memory for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's great.
We've got a lot of fun stuff planned around that. We've also got some delicious blueberry and strawberry goodies. You know, you gotta
mix see a lot of the old Pinterest has got a lot of these, you know, cakes with the American flag, with the strawberries.
Yeah.
And blueberries and all that kind of stuff.
Man, so, I was brought up on that. Every single year, my mom made the whipped cream and the American flag with the strawberries.
Yeah, no, that's great. We never did that at my house, but I'm glad to know you did.
Oh, it was a lot. It was a lot of fun. I noticed something on the Facebooks over the last past week.
The friend face.
Yeah. So people might not know this. I think probably the standard assumption is that you are as tied to this place as it is to you. And if if you are not here, it cannot exist. Therefore, you must always be at the shop. But that is actually a misconception.
It is.
You do occasionally leave the shop from time to time.
I do. And if I didn't, I would be completely worthless. A lot of people, you know, we've let our guard down some on the show before.
We had
a very fun episode not too long ago where I got to rant and rave about some things.
Everyone's favorite.
But you know, it's funny. I do occasionally leave the shop, and I'm much more introverted than I think people believe I am. And so I have to, you know, it just drains me to sit here and be social all day long, and I've got to go disconnect. And occasionally that, you know, means that someone else has to take the wheel. Yeah.
And so, of course, you know, folks are well aware. I mean, if this is your first episode, you know, there is an intern for the Country Squire, Caleb the intern, who's also the Country Squire radio intern.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of times, if you're not here, maybe 9 times out of 10, it's going to be him. Occasionally, it's other folks as well.
It is. Typically, if it's not Caleb, it's my good friend Stephen. Stephen lives here locally.
We call him the anti-hurricane.
He is the anti-hurricane.
That's right.
Because he's kind of a tropical storm in his own right.
Oh, that's right.
But he comes in and the hurricane, which is someone different. You know, they interact together and kind of cancel each other out. It's actually really nice.
It's science, is what it is.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he was here at the shop, and he noticed that you had happened to left your computer here, so he thought he'd play a fun game, which was guess John David's password.
It's really kind of terrifying.
I won't say what he put in.
I'm glad. Yeah, because that was also terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm curious. Did anybody ever guess the password? Or
no? Thank goodness.
Did you comb through some of those answers?
I did. Some of them were hilarious and terrible. There were a lot of password guesses that were Boodles related, gin and tonic related, mm-hmm. or you know, Virginia Perique related. I think we had a few of those. But it's terrifying to think you know, someone could get on there and you know, just see all that stuff,
all the stuff that you've got locked away on your laptop.
Well, I mean, there's people's like orders and stuff on there, private recipes on there, and you know, I mean, how many times I've watched Arrested Development on there, and you know, things like that. I mean, you know, it's just shameful stuff. So yeah, you got to watch out.
All right, well, look for the guess John David Cole's password coming to a Facebook post near you.
Man, Texas Pipe Show in October, right?
October the 7th. Yeah. Man, it's Pop's Safari Room in Fort Worth, Texas. Man, I am so stoked about this.
Yeah,
I am 100% know for sure that I'm going to be there. I was kind of iffy as to whether or not it was going to happen, but it's happening.
Yeah.
I know you're going to be there. We're going to have a lot of fun. You know, I think our assumption, although I guess we got to get this confirmed, but we'll actually be doing a live show from...
I would hope so.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if I'll tell you this, guys.
If those guys would be long-suffering enough to put up with us for an afternoon.
I mean, you know, if y'all, either y'all give us the space or we'll like shout it outside, we'll get megaphones and we'll do it that way.
at our new... we will make it an anti-safe space if you don't just, you know, give us what we want. No, I'm kidding. Hey, they have reminded us to, or at least asked us to let folks know that they are looking for tables for carvers. So if you're interested, the carvers kind of get first dibs, and the cost for a table, it looks like, if I'm reading this correct, the cost of the table is free for carvers. And so that's really...
Oh, snap.
Really great. We're reserving space for carvers first. Next, we want any estate vendors, and all the tables are half tables for space issues. So you'll wind up getting like a half table for that.
Okay.
But yeah, and so it's exciting. And then, you know, if there's any tables left over, people that make leather goods, beard oil, accessories, things like that, then there will be room for those too. But man, it's going to be great. October 7th in Fort Worth at Pop Safari Room. And man, we are very excited about being there.
Absolutely. It's going to be a blast. Hey, I want to give a shout out to our Pipe Club members. Y'all are awesome for helping support the show. I know we've had a huge influx over the last several weeks, and a lot of y'all have not yet gotten your digital swag. That is coming. In fact, my 4th of July is going to be putting together a lot of y'all's membership cards. And actually, you know, there's been some discussion. You know, Twitter recently redid the way their avatars work and everything. They went from square to circle. And of course,
really?
Yeah, the way that our avatars for club members are all based off of the square look, not necessarily the circle look. So there may be an upgrade coming soon.
Okay.
I won't guarantee that this week, but I'm looking at trying to figure out exactly how that's going to work in the limited space that Twitter gives you. But one way or the other, I'm aware of that situation and working on a solution there for you. But if you are
that's a great club member, okay,
and you have yet not yet received your digital goodies, your club member card, your avatar, all that great stuff, that is coming this week. So I'm excited to get that out to you as soon as possible. And hey, big shout out, by the way, to those of you who are supporting us on Patreon. You know, we've got some new patrons. Shout out to Alexander Shockley, as well as Jim Friedman.
That's man, great. Thanks so much, Alexander and Jim, for getting on board. And new patrons, man. That's great.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So y'all are awesome. Thank y'all so much. We greatly appreciate it.
And if you want to join that and kind of help Bo and I do this every week, it's just patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio.
That's
right, Bo?
Yeah. And if you're on CountrySquireRadio.com, we got a big banner there that says join the club. Click that. It'll take you right to it. It goes a long way at helping support the show, keeping it running,
yeah, we're really
keeping
grateful.
It going, and keeping it growing as well.
Dude, we're so close to that lounge. I mean, it's right there.
Yeah.
I'm kind of terrified because when we open it up,
it's out there.
And only the people, you know, that are club members obviously are going to be able to get in, but we've got some really strong personalities in this deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, and
there's a lot of really talented meme makers and
Snap. We're going to have like a thread dedicated to the memes.
Yeah. I don't know about this.
Meme Monday?
It's going to be there will be a lot of laughs,
and also
maybe a little heartburn. It'll be fun. it'll be a lot of fun.
Well,
it's like Pandora's box.
We're about four or five new club members away from opening up the Squire's Lounge online. So learn more about that patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio, and hopefully we'll be unlocking that soon. So if you've been thinking about joining the club, now is the time. Make it happen so we can open up the doors, cut the ribbon, take off the velvet thing that goes in front of the thing, and. You know, the thing, you put poles, there's a velvet thing on it.
All I hear is velvet and poles, and this could go in a lot of different directions.
Well,
anyway,
let me tell you which direction it's going in, and that is to talk about a subject that I know that you personally have been like jonesing for since the beginning of this show.
That's right. Tonight we're actually going to talk about the Bing Crosby pipe.
Oh!
And so, of course, Bing Crosby, one of the most famous, iconic pipe smokers of the 20th century. You know, Mr. Crooner himself, right? I mean, just an American icon, one of those people from mid 20th century that had a really strong following, but also was kind of the center of style and fashion and all these other things. I mean, he was just a real personality and icon.
He was definitely a man of his era. That is definitely true.
And what I think is kind of neat, along with the 4th of July, we could have talked about a lot of things, for this. But, he was an American guy. I mean, this was an American pipe smoker who, kind of inspired and fed into the whole, 20th century post-war, American dream. I mean, just, iconic, movies and things of that nature that came from that period. And so, I don't know. Just kind of fun to explore. But we've talked about Bing Crosby before on Country Squire Radio. And we have a series where we've talked about pipe shapes. We've talked about things like the the Cuddy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of all those shapes we talked about.
The Bulldog.
Yeah. The Rhodesian or the...
Have we done the Rhodesian?
I think we have done the Rhodesian.
Oh,
yeah. The Oompaw. I think we've done the Oompaw.
The Oompaw for sure. Yeah.
Calabash. We wanted to talk about the Bing pipe, the Bing pipe, or in some circles the Bing's favorite. It's kind of interesting. You think of the Bing pipe, and it's almost like a variant on the billiard, right? You've got this kind of svelte pipe. It's got a very kind of clean lines, a smaller stacked bowl. And it's one of those that, is not for everyone because it's just kind of a unique shape. Nowadays, when people think of a Bing Crosby pipe, a lot of folks initially think of the Savinelli version, which is actually my favorite pipe. It's called Savinelli Terms. There's the Bing's favorite. It's got just a real clean line. It's not quite a pencil shank. Shank and stem combination there, but it's a little thicker than that, but a really nice small but also tall bowl.
Well, just for reference, so when you say pencil shank, what you mean is
basically a shank that would have the diameter of a pencil.
Okay,
so
extremely the width of it.
Yeah, the width of the and the diameter of the shank and stem there. So it's not quite that thin, or at least the Savinelli variant is not. And of course, it's got a little bend on it, but But what's interesting is, you know, a lot of folks, they think of, you know, Bing Crosby, they think of the Bing's Favorite because it's just so popular today. And, you know, obviously it's a great pipe. I believe in them. We sell them all the time. I've got two of them. But Savinelli actually took some kind of creative license with this pipe. They took some creative liberties with this. Mm. So this is not exactly the pipe that Bing Crosby smoked. You know?
Oh, snap, Savvy.
He had some of his, you know, it's very close, but he had some, you know, peculiar interests, I think, that were, you know, a little different. And Savinelli just took a few liberties when in creating this pipe. So,
Gotta ask. I mean, sure. I know we're going to dive into more of, you know, Bing's pipe versus Bing's Favorite.
Yeah.
Per se, but
sure.
But with Bing's Favorite being your favorite, do you prefer? Would you say that you actually prefer Savinelli's take over the historic pipe, so to speak?
Yeah, I do, and we'll get into more of the details, I think, in the differences. But Savinelli's pipe, it's interesting. Of course, they you know, are going to use high quality aged briar. You know, they on the smooth variant, they have an ebonite stem. And on the rusticated variant, which I'm not as much of a fan of, they've got a kind of a faux Cumberland stem. It's a pretty stem, but, you know, a little harder on your teeth. But I do like it because it's got this very, very small bend in the very, very back of it. So it's I definitely consider this a straight pipe, but the Savinelli variant of the, you know, of the Bing Crosby pipe, it's got just this little bend at the very end. And it's nice because as I'm working and clenching this pipe, it kind of just gently hangs just a little bit. So, you know, it certainly smokes like a straight pipe, but it's just not quite in your field of vision.
That's good.
Which is really nice. So, but anyway, so Savinelli had this and they, you know, took some liberties with it, but it still, you know, is very reminiscent of the pipes that he smoked. Bing Crosby actually smoked a variety of pipes. And so, you know, you look back at these pictures and you think of, you know, some of his later years, those iconic images of him with, you know, with his pipes. But, you know, if you look through his entire career, there were a bunch of pipes that he smoked, you know, particularly...
that's how you know he was a pipe smoker.
No, exactly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. I mean, you saw a bunch of different brands. You know, they were typically all straight pipes, which I think is interesting. Of course, you know, we're talking about 20th century here, mid-20th century, and so... you know, most pipes from that time period, if they were popular, particularly in America, were going to be straight stemmed pipes. You know, there's a lot of, you know, speculation as to why that kind of changed later in the 20th century. People went from straight pipes to bent pipes. But, you know, your kind of those mid-century iconic pipes were all straight, straight pipes, straight bulldogs, straight billiards, you know, things of that nature. So in almost all cases, the Savinelli or the pipe that he smoked were straight, but they were also kind of long. And that's nice. This is not a church warden pipe, but it's a long pipe. So the Bing almost always universally is going to be a pipe that it just has a little longer length. I mean, we're talking like maybe a 6-7 inch long pipe here. And you know, what's so nice about that is that it tends to cool the smoke down just a hair. And so a lot of folks, you know, reserve their Bing pipe for maybe some, you know, Virginias that smoke a little hotter, or maybe some of their favorite aromatic blends, something, you know, just to cool it down a little bit more than maybe one of your, you know, traditionally, you know, 5-inch length pipe, something like that.
Obviously, because he had so many pipes, we know that he was a true pipe smoker,
absolutely
enjoyed it. But
and he went through a lot of them too.
Do you think the fact that he kind of geared towards the longer pipe had to do with kind of that Hollywood persona? You know, you gotta keep the facial image.
Absolutely. And you know, talking about that, it's interesting. Bing himself was if you look at photos of him, he's a very thin person, very svelte. You know, obviously, you know, you know, good for the screen and all that kind of stuff. But he was also, like yours truly, very short. He was 5'7".
Hey,
Bing Crosby was 5'7".
Takes one to know one.
You know, and it's funny because I kind of relate to Crosby in that, you know, I've kind of got this, you know, Napoleon syndrome thing going on where, you know, I'm a short guy. I'd like to think, you know, I don't do this as much as maybe I do, but I probably, you know, have compensated for that in certain ways over the years.
Is that what's going on with the man bun?
I think, you know, I don't know about that.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm just curious.
But you know, you think like, okay, you've got a 5'7" guy here who's made his name in show business and music and all this other stuff, and you know, so he's kind of got this image that he's got to craft and protect, and so you know, there's something about a clean line, very iconic, unique looking, authentic pipe that you know is very long. That kind of I don't know. It's almost like a device that he can use to make himself look more substantial or something. As I was kind of analyzing my own love for this pipe and also even kind of critiquing my own maybe motives for liking this shape. You know, I'm just sitting here thinking, man, I am a short guy, and I kind of like the length of that pipe because it just kind of sets me apart a little bit. I don't know. It's something, maybe that's, you know, peeking into some of my vanity, but
interesting.
But I'm okay with that because we're among friends.
It kind of gives you a boost of confidence.
Well, and I think maybe, you know, Bing used that to his advantage, right?
Sure, yeah.
You know, obviously someone that was that talented, and like you mentioned, he, you know, there was an image thing that was there, but
it was almost as if you were casting Bing in a movie, you weren't just casting him. You know what I mean? Like, his pipe was coming with him.
Sure.
Like, that was going to be a part
And that
of
was
character.
Almost universally the case. Yeah. That's right. So, you know, many of the younger photos of Crosby actually appear to show, you know, pipes that were more along the lines of Canadian-style pipes. So, we're talking, you know, a oval shank, very long shank. And, you know, when we're talking, for those listening and not viewing, you know, with a Canadian pipe, typically you've got an oval shank. The wood is very long on the shank compared to a smaller, you know, a smaller mouthpiece there that just kind of is tapered at the very end. And so he did smoke several of those pipes. There's several, you know, pipes, some Dunhills and things of that nature that he smoked. But typically later in his career, some of the most iconic, you know, pipes that he was seen with were always those kind of, you know, long stem pipes that, you know, were just very, very clean, very clean. So there was a brand that he wound up falling in love with and it supposedly had them make several pipes, you know, kind of for him, and he would actually buy them in bulk occasionally. But it was called Merchant Service. Merchant Service was an English brand, and, you know, very obscure. It's not something that exists today. And, you know, if you find one of their pipes on the internet, you know, you might pay $400 or $500 for it. Not necessarily even because of the quality, although I'm sure the quality is, you know, was fine. But, you know, they're just such a small batch thing. They're just kind of hard to get, you know. And so, you know, and obviously the connection with Bing Crosby, people's, you know, kind of, you know, they relate the brand with him and
it's
all
iconic.
That. And so, yeah, it's just kind of an iconic thing. And so they are coveted, and you might see a pipe, a Bing shaped pipe that, you know, that they branded and made in the estate market that, you know, even a beat up version might go for, you know, for a few hundred dollars.
Sure.
So it's kind of interesting. And so, you know, anyway, the pipes typically that he would get from Merchant Service were these special pipes. They called it the special, and they were typically smooth with very long stems with no bend. And the ebonite, the stem was, of course, made of ebonite. The shank, again, is not quite a pencil shank pipe, but it is a, you know, kind of a nice diameter that is smaller than probably most traditional pipes. And so, you know, typically also on a Bing, you've got, again, we're talking about a variant of a billiard here. And so the, you know, think of a just kind of a billiard shaped bowl that's got a nice stack to it. And it's a small bowl typically, but also, you know, a little on the taller side, which I think is kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. You so don't anyway. Want, I mean, one imagines with that kind of stem, you don't necessarily want too big a bowl with it because it would weigh you down as far down as it is.
With such a long pipe, yeah. It is, you know, it would be unwieldy, you know, if it were probably almost any other dimension, which I think is interesting because
the third dimension is probably best one for it.
Or the fourth dimension.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. So over the years, obviously the, you know, the Bing, kind of pipe, you know, it inspired a lot of different, variants. And of course, you know, including the Bing's favorite from Savinelli, but, and we talked about the liberties that Savinelli kind of took with this. It's, you know, typically most of it is going to be seen in the nature of the end of the stem, where it's just a little bend to it. They also have this kind of curious, and I've never really understood this, they've got this curious little golf club emblem on the side, which I've always thought is kind of funny. I don't know kind of where they got that from or what the, you know, what the purpose of that
is.
Yeah,
I've never known Bing to be a big golfer.
Well, I don't really connect the two, right? So, you know, it's just one of those oddities that, you know, when you buy Bing's Favorite from Savinelli, it's on there, but you just... you know, I don't really know why, but it's okay because I love the pipe.
It does kind of look like a golf club. I mean, I hadn't really thought about it from this standpoint, but, you know.
I could see that. Yeah. Yeah. Almost like a golf club. So, you know, the pipe overall. But you know, it's inspired other brands, too. Stanwell has made Bing-shaped pipes over the years. Dunhill has several incredible Bing-shaped pipes that they've done over the years. Of course, those are going to be hand-finished, much more premium. And you know, typically a lot of those are in the Cumberland finish, and so you've got just a real rich kind of ruby, you know, finish stain on the wood with a really nice Cumberland stem. So so that's always nice. What's neat is this shape, the Bing shape, has become extremely popular in the American artisan pipe market.
Yeah.
And I love that. Yeah. I love that. And I'm hell bent to get one.
Is that so is that, do you think that's why, do you gravitate towards that shape because of the popularity? Are you like rejoicing in the fact that the thing that you love so much has become popular, giving you so many more options?
Yeah, okay. No, that exactly. There's something about the length of this pipe and the dimensions of it. You know, I don't smoke anything really because it's, you know, I smoke things because I enjoy them, right?
Right.
You know, it's not necessarily, I don't have to have it because it's popular.
Well, but at the same time,
but
at least
I'd like to think so. But, you know, there's something about this pipe, though, that, you know, the dimensions of it are just perfect for me. It's a smaller bowl. It's kind of a stacked bowl. So you've got just a really nice ability to smoke a good Virginia flake or something of that nature. Real clean lined, slim lined, very light. And I like that. And now there's so many more options to get this shape because folks, you know, in the American artisan community have really taken to this. And so a couple that stand out that I'll just mention. There's a few, but Basil Meadows has really kind of made a name for himself in the pipe world. But Basil, who is an incredible carver, a great guy, and you can interact with him on a lot of the forums online and everything. But Basil has made some incredible Bing pipes, and for folks looking for an artisan Bing pipe, you know, he's where a lot of folks go to for that. So I know has done several commissions. Another one is Clark Layton. Clark Layton, young guy, incredible pipe maker. These guys, you know, they can do stuff with briar. I don't even know where they begin, you know.
Huh,
But Basil and Clark both, I mean, these are guys that are constantly getting commissions for pipes, very high end pipes, that are you know, that have made kind of made a niche for themselves in not just making Bing pipes, but they, you know, they've obviously made several of those and are very good at it. Another one too, that I have to mention. As a matter of fact, I think our friend Hochter mentioned her earlier. But there's a really talented artisan pipe maker from Kansas City named Scotty Purcell. Scotty is one of the probably most prolific female pipe makers in the world, I would think. And of course, is going to show up at almost any of the big American pipe shows or whatever. Got to interact and meet her and her husband up at Chicago. But she has gotten into just a really, Scotty kind of has a signature look. You can almost not quite, there's a sense in which you can kind of identify her pipes
like
just by looking at
it.
Yeah, recognize them. She loves pencil shank stems, and so, you know, her stems might be on some pipes a little smaller than this Bing that I'm holding now, but you know, but loves those kind of small bowls. She's got a lot of small billiards and Rhodesians and things of that nature, but they almost always, at least, well, they don't almost always, but a lot of her pipes have, you know, a really nice length to them, a length to the length bowl ratio, which I think is really reminiscent of the Bing's Favorite. And I'd really encourage y'all to check out her work. You can, her website, I believe, is ladybriar.com.
Oh.
Does some awesome work. And if you want a pencil shank pipe, something that does have a real thin shank, she probably would make the best one on the market, I would think. Matter of fact, even our friend Two Combs with Rocks Pipes, who is one of our local guys, he has made a few pipes that are reminiscent of the Bing, and also is a big fan of the of the pencil shank pipe.
Is Two still a pipe carver? Does he still
well,
get
the Well, he's like a former pipe carver.
I was about to say, he hadn't turned out anything
kinda,
new in a minute.
I think he's kind of hung up his apron.
He won that award, and then nobody ever heard from him since.
No, that I mean, you know, he's
he
made
pulled
a few
George
pieces.
Costanza and was like, that's it, I'm out. Yeah, like, he was gone after that.
He's made a few pipes here and there.
All right.
But, yeah.
I'm just giving you a hard time, too.
No, Two's one of those people, he's got like, I think he's got like 18 pipes on his workbench that are in various stages of being finished, but, you know, but he just, you know, he's, that's how geniuses work. You know, they don't, you don't read one book at a time, you read 14 books at a time. And then, you know, when you get rid of one, you go to the next one.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Right.
Here's the thing about Bing's pipes though. You know, he did smoke quite a few, and yes, there was a lot of similarities over the various pipes that he had. But to me, whenever I think of like the Bing pipe, it's not actually what most people do or what's kind of commonly seen in the industry. It's actually from the movie Holiday Inn. And
yeah, sure.
In that film, the pipe actually plays, it's a prop in the film in the sense that he's constantly smoking it. But he goes, there's, you know, I don't want to give away the movie per se here.
Sure, sure.
But
we're all going to rush out and go watch Holiday Inn featuring Bing Crosby. No, I understand.
It's there's a scene at the end of the movie. There's this girl and they look like they're getting together, but then she feels like he was using her or she was using him, and it was, you know, she ends up going with his best friend and they're about to get engaged. He pops up on the set of their film, like she and this other dude are about to like film and everything else, and it's all based off of their life together. I'm explaining it horribly. Here's what happened.
I feel like I'm there, Bo. This is fantastic. Just riveting. Just completely riveting.
They're on the set. They roll film. The girl, she goes up and she sits at a piano and she starts singing the iconic song, I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas.
Yeah.
And so as she's singing it, she gets to the break in the song and she reaches up and grabs Bing's pipe, which is he left specifically for her on the piano, on the top of the piano.
Interesting.
And picks it up and starts ringing bells on a Christmas tree the same way that he did the first time they kind of started to fall in love.
Okay.
And so when she starts doing that, she realizes what she's doing and she realizes what she's holding. And then all of a sudden, he pops through the other door. He's like, may all your, you know, like, and then, you know, she runs into his arms. They fall in love and it's just wonderful. But it all happens because of that pipe. But here's the thing.
That's interesting.
That pipe specifically that she uses and that is such a big moment in the entire movie is actually one that is square. Like the bowl is square.
It's a paneled pipe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sure is. It's interesting. I don't know the exact maker, but it looks to me like it might be a Dunhill. I don't know. I mean, a lot of those pipes from that era were. But yeah, it's like a paneled billiard.
And
it's one of the most famous pipes that he was ever associated with because of the nature of the movie. So yeah, fascinating.
Man, when I first got into pipe smoking, every single time I heard you talk about Bing's pipe, I always thought that one. Then I was like, that's not Bing's pipe. Like whenever you busted yours out, I was like, that's not Bing's pipe. It's not square.
And that's it, right? You know, over the years, obviously he did smoke a lot of pipes, as we mentioned, but you know, I think the industry has kind of settled on as far as the shape it got, you know, itself and what we refer to as a Bing's pipe as just a longer pipe, certainly a longer pipe than normal, but not a church warden's length pipe that has just kind of a real clean lines, typically a straight pipe, or in Savinelli's case, just with a tiny bend on the very end, and then kind of a smallish bowl with a stacked billiard look to it. So just a great pipe, real iconic, real clean, and one of those I think that you know, it's not for everyone because it's kind of a slimline pipe, but I love it. The length is really key for me because it cools the smoke down just enough to make it a little more enjoyable without being a church warden.
What I've enjoyed seeing is throughout our discussion tonight, our live listeners have been tweeting in pictures of their Bing's
their
pipes.
Bings. I love that.
It's been so cool to see. And so, by the way, if you're listening to this now, if you've got a Bing's pipe, share it with us. Tweet at us and we'll retweet that out. We love kind of sharing off, you know, showing off your pipes as you kind of send them into us. And, you know, you've seen all of John David's. Well, you haven't seen all of them. They're all hanging up on the rack on the wall.
I don't know if I've seen all of them. I have way too many.
Yeah, they do kind of all blend together, don't they?
They do. And, you know, I've got this rack on the wall over here, and I wish I could say that was all my pipes, but shamefully, it's not.
Is it not?
No.
That's a lot of pipes
on
the wall, y'all.
Dozens more than that. It's really bad.
Oh, wow.
I should have lied and just said, yeah, it was.
Well, here's the thing. The Bing style of pipe is one that is iconic. There are a lot of different takes on it. Now, of course, you know, here at the time during the program, we like to talk about our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right.
And correct me if I'm wrong, they don't have necessarily a Bing's pipe, but they do have kind of a take on that, a similar style.
Yeah, our friends at Missouri Meerschaum, they don't necessarily make a Bings-shaped pipe, but the closest one they have, and I did want to make sure I got it right, that I have seen that we sell at the shop quite a bit is the Pony Express. I love the Pony Express. It's a small frame pipe. It's got a small, lengthy little stem on it, would probably be closer maybe to a Canadian, but it's just a real handsome pipe, and the small stack bowl is just real clean. It's a nice pocket pipe, and so you know, one of those that you could take, you know, with you very easily, you know, and obviously it's a smaller frame pipe than a lot of their other pipes. So the Legend, the Country Gentleman, the Mark Twain, those pipes are going to be a little larger, and the Pony Express is one of those pipes that's just going to be small and a nice fit for your hand, a nice quick smoke, particularly if you're like me and smoke a lot when you're working. So a great pipe to check out from Missouri Meerschaum, the Pony Express. And if you've got a Missouri Meerschaum Pony Express, we'd love to see that. Tweet us in some photos, and we'd love to retweet those.
Absolutely. It's a great way to let the folks at Missouri Meerschaum know you appreciate them for helping sponsor this show.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week comes in from Homestead Piper. That is Mike. Mike writes in, and this is what Mike has to say.
Yeah.
Hey guys, new listener, and I love the show. My question is, what tip do you have for lovingly bringing along a spouse, girlfriend, boyfriend who is less enthusiastic about your new pipe hobby? Keep up the good work. Again, Mike. So Mike has a situation where he has both a spouse, a girlfriend, and a boyfriend, and he is trying to simultaneously bring them on.
Man, that's really complicated, Mike.
That might be more complicated. Let's just take it as if you only had one.
Well, maybe just one of those.
Yeah.
He may have meant that, but
But you know, you never know.
We go to the extreme, right? Mike's got game. We do know that. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I lucked out. I mean, you know, my girlfriend kind of knew what she was getting into when she met me. I mean, gosh, if you date a owner of a pipe shop, you kind of, you know, you just know that you just know generally when you see him, he's going to smell like an ashtray, right? So,
but a delicious
sweet, you know, savory ashtray. That's exactly right.
Honey, so, you smell like ash.
You smell like ash.
That's right.
Never mind. Yeah. but
with those ash stains all over you.
You know, you do have to be sensitive to these things, right? Because
she actually was after you for your ash.
She's
like, that's some fine ash.
Hey,
right
she
there.
Did. She did like that. She commented on to all her friends how much she loved my ash.
You got to back that ash up. That's what you got
to
do.
You do have to occasionally
tamp that ash.
Occasionally back it up. That's right.
And we've been canceled.
That's right. iTunes just rejected our.
Just got rejected.
Right.
Not for the tobacco. For that, right there.
For backing up ash, right? You know, you do have to be sensitive with this. Obviously, we've talked so much over the past several years about how pipe smoking has been lumped in with cigarettes, unfortunately. And so a lot of folks, when they think of smoking nowadays, they just kind of paint with broad brushstrokes. And so, you know, if you're someone that is a thoughtful person that, you know, is looking for something to do in the evening after work, maybe after you put your kids down to bed, you know, you like to drink a little whiskey, but you're also, you know, thinking about picking up the pipe or maybe a premium cigar, you might have a little sales job to do there, right? Because, you know, folks aren't educated enough to know in our modern day with special interests and 140 characters and all this stuff, you know, a lot of folks kind of lump them all in together. But you know, but just come slowly alongside the person you love and educate them, you know, very graciously about it. And you know what? One of the neatest things I love about being on my side of the counter are when couples come in together. And the partner, you know, whether it be the husband or the wife, and typically it's the wife, but you know, the smoker kind of lets the partner have a lot of input on what is being smoked. And I really like that. I really, really like that. You know, we've had a lot of couples that have come in literally and, you know, the wife might say, you know, honey, I think this one looks good on you. I kind of like that. It's kind of almost like shopping for shoes or something. You know, it's like, well, you know, when I look at you,
they're going to be looking at you.
I think this one accents you well. Yeah. You know, I like this. And so, you know, kind of maybe let them play a part in the process, you know, which I think is interesting.
Thing.
No, of course
that's
it is.
Great.
Just like being Crosby, you know, you have to find something that, you know, kind of matches your image. But also, I think even more importantly, the tobacco is extremely important because, you know, you probably are going to want to smoke occasionally around your significant other. And so I love this. People will come in and, you know, and the wife will maybe have, you know, the guy will pick out a few tobaccos he likes. And then the wife will say, you know, I don't know about this one, but man, these two right here are great. Maybe pick one of those. Or, you know, why don't you, maybe we could even mix these together. Or, you know, I think the kids would like the smell of this. Or, you know, this wouldn't be too offensive to the neighbors or, you know, something like that. Bring them in on the process. And I think that would be just a really good, you know, good opportunity for y'all to collaborate on it. And you never know, you might even make them a pipe smoker in the process.
It is a little bit of a different process for like spouse versus like dating somebody. You know, whenever you're dating somebody, you never like put it all out there up front. You know, you always, you kind of
got to,
you got to kind of feel them out.
Play your cards close to the chest initially, maybe.
I didn't go into the depth of my Star Wars knowledge on my first date with my wife. You know what I mean?
You didn't show her your Boba Fett collection?
No, I wish I had a Boba Fett collection. I do not have that, but I didn't go into that. I didn't go to the video games or any of that stuff. Now she loves those things about me. Now she's endured. That's part of the enduring process of her, you know, knowing who I am. You know, I think of
Mrs. York, you're slipping. I'm just kidding.
No, man, it's a great thing.
No, those are good things.
But that's so. I would imagine it's kind of a similar deal. Like, you know, as you kind of introduce those things slowly as part of the dating process, as you kind of figure out what their comfort level is,
sure,
around those things. But I love your suggestion. If you're kind of already in a relationship, you're kind of bringing them in the early stages. That's a great idea.
I think a lot of folks are there, and you know what I've seen too is folks will you know, if you are fortunate enough to have a pipe shop in your area, go. You know, go there, bring your spouse, bring your girlfriend or boyfriend, and smoke, sample some tobaccos, you know, while you're there. Buy a few ounces or whatever and smoke them while you're there. Give the person the opportunity to smell them, see what, you know, see what they think. And you never know, you might make your biggest ally in the process. So kind of a neat idea.
All right, man. Well, that's the pipe question of the week from Homestead Piper. Big ups to Mike Kinsey for sending that in. Hey, if you've got a pipe question of the week, you can send it in. That's show@countrysquireradio.com. Again, that's show@countrysquireradio.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right, these quick fire questions coming in from the forums over at thispipelife.com.
Love the folks at thispipelife.com.
Oh, yeah, more about them in just a moment here. But first, this is actually from Big Sky Piping.
Okay.
Big Sky Piping.
All right, good.
Now this
solid.
This is great, man. This is the theme of his quick fire questions is summer barbecue.
Oh, man, snap.
perfect time for it.
Yeah,
it's hot outside.
4th of July Eve.
Fourth of July.
We're about, you know, there's going to be so many dead animals that will be roasted tomorrow.
That's what you got to do. You got to roast those animals. You got to smoke your pipe while you're doing it and think, why don't I know what tobacco to smoke? Well, I'm not going to get in that. We already did that. All right. Are you ready for this?
I don't know what tobacco to smoke with these delicious barbecue things because Bo and JD haven't told me.
Exactly.
Yet. Right.
They're crying out for us right now.
Yeah, and I'm sure they are. I'm sure they're sitting on the edge of their seat.
All right. Ready?
Yep.
Hamburger or hot dog?
Generally hamburger.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the hot dog has its place, but, you know, it generally, on average, you got to go with a hamburger.
Yeah, the hot dog has its place. It's in the garbage. Honestly, I am not like, if it's a brat...
That's heresy. I got to... Now, come on.
A hot dog is heresy.
This is America now. I mean, no. I mean, look, the hot dog, look, it might be kind of the, you know, the little, you know... Orphan.
It's like a step above spam, man.
No, I don't know if it's I don't know if it's quite that good, but as far as the quality, but it still has its place. It still has its place. The hot dog has its place.
I love its place.
I love a good hot dog.
Yeah. All right, no, but
I love a good hamburger more.
Yeah, hamburger all the way. I will say this: when I was in Chicago, you know, in Chicago, they know a couple things about hot dogs.
They do.
And I was about to say
we just lost all our Chicago listeners.
No, well, see, that's the thing. That's my one exception is I have had like some Chicago dogs, and the way they dress them up and everything else is great. But it's really more of a vehicle for everything else that you do with it. But so yeah, so hamburgers, steak or ribs.
Oh, man. Okay, I'm going to go with steak, but it's like picking between your kids, you know? You can't, I mean, which one's your favorite? The one that looks like me, I don't know. I mean, I got to go with steak.
I got two kids. I can't answer that question, but I will answer this one.
Yeah.
Yes, it depends on the cut of steak. You know what I mean? Like if it's...
No, that's fair. Yeah.
If it's,
I'm a filet guy.
Oh, all the way.
Yeah, I'm a filet guy. I know some folks like a cut that's got, you know, maybe more marbling or whatever, but I'm a filet guy.
A filet is delicious. Yeah. I actually, man, I got a butcher's cut. What do they call it? The hanger steak?
I don't even know what that is, but it sounds exquisite.
So it's one of these things. It's like this like little known secret that everybody knows about, which is that it's cheap. And so you have to kind of do some stuff to clean it up. But once you clean it up, it's like the best tasting beef.
It's really good.
Yeah. So I got a couple of those. I'm going to slap on the grill tomorrow.
Good.
Steak all the way.
That's great.
Beer or whiskey?
Whiskey.
Whiskey.
Yep.
And then finally, macaroni salad or potato salad?
That's a funny question. I'm going to go with potato salad. But the macaroni salad has probably, you know, there's benefits to that.
Yeah, no, I mean, is it a funny question? Like, I feel like in other parts of the world, macaroni salad is more...
Is that a thing?
I think that's more like a common, like, side dish.
A common thing, yeah.
I mean,
here in the deep
menus.
South, we see a lot of potato salad. I don't know.
See, macaroni and cheese is as a side.
Macaroni and cheese, that's kind of a thing,
yeah.
Right? We actually call that a vegetable here, which is kind of ridiculous, yeah.
Oh, sad but true.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. Yeah, potato salad for me is what we agreed on everything. So that means Big Sky Piping, you either win or lose. We never really determined what that means, but we did agree on everything. So congratulations.
That's
to
right.
Sir.
That's right.
Hey, and of course, we're sent in on the forums over at thispipelife.com. Now, if you've not checked out thispipelife.com, you absolutely should. It's free to sign up, and all you have to do is use the code CSR when you do. It lets them know you heard about it on this show. And once you're in the forums, you can go on, submit those quickfire questions. We're pulling from those. We have been for a long, long time. And
there's a lot of gold over there.
Man, this is great. In fact, actually, Big Sky Piping, he's got a whole nother wave of barbecue-related questions for next week. So I'm looking forward to diving into those as we do. So again, thispipelife.com. Use the code CSR to sign up at thispipelife.com.
Your thoughts, your comments, listener feedback.
All right, man, we got some great listener feedback.
Man, yeah, it looks like it.
Town Cat, but it's spelled weird.
Twan Cat.
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Oh. Well,
did you misspell it,
No.
He misspell it? Or did he intentionally misspell it?
I was about to say.
Or is it not town at all, and it's Twan as a thing?
So T-Cat on iTunes writes in and gives us the legitimate 5-star, fellas. What does T-Cat have to say?
Man, that's great. He says, this is my all-time favorite podcast. I fiend for the next one every week. I've been smoking cigars for about 5 years now and a pipe for a year. I don't bother with cigars anymore because the pipe has become such a passion of mine. The knowledge you two have is refreshing and very useful. I like your tobacco review episode and select Squire episode, the Squire Select episodes we do, where you do pairings. I've learned much from you guys. I identify immensely with the episode you guys discussing cigar smokers saying they've tried a pipe and didn't like it because there was way too much involved with the process and so on. I'm a hands-on guy and tinkerer by nature. With cigars, I was bored of cutting, lighting, and then that's it. The pipe has become such a staple of mine. So he's saying, you know, he likes the process of it. He said, my Instagram is a testament to that. And it's serendipity_hunter. If you guys ever want to check it out. So y'all be sure to check out his stuff. But thanks so much for bringing such an amazing podcast. I can't wait for the next one. Happy smokes. Man, Twan Cat, we appreciate you, man. Thanks for that iTunes review. And man, we appreciate it a bunch.
Absolutely.
We really do. Glad you're enjoying the pipe. You know, the tinkering part, I think is some... For some folks, that's the thing that drives them away, and for some of us, that's the thing that is endearing about it. It's the process, you know. It's the ritual of it. It's the liturgy of the pipe, as it were.
Oh,
I ought to write a book.
Man,
on that.
You really should write a book on it.
Oh man, that's great.
That needs to happen.
So we got another one from James.
Yeah, we do. But I want to clarify something really quick. I have no knowledge. In fact, my biggest skill set is that over the last several years of doing this on a weekly basis, I have not acquired any knowledge. Other than to know what questions to ask that the newbies, like, you know, several years in, I still feel like I'm a novice at all this. But man, all the knowledge comes from John David. James Ewing, he writes in, he says, crazy couple of Mississippi rednecks, good description of me and my dog, but I've never visited. Just a warning, I'm coming down one day. Have you paved the roads there yet? Half of them are in Alabama by now.
Yeah, but you know, Alabama, they like have, you know, shoes with laces on them and stuff. I don't know, man. They're kind of progressive over there, you know?
You guys keep me in stitches, he said. All right, look, let me tell you something.
Yeah, we're kind of sophisticated for Mississippi rednecks, don't you think?
I'm not a redneck.
No, you're not at all. The funny thing is, Bo isn't at all. Like, he's
not
one
the
of
the slightest.
You know, you don't even talk like a lot of us do. And I kind of have the shtick that, like, you know, I don't know. I'm a chameleon enough and probably codependent enough to where when I'm in the shop, you know, and I'm around, you know, a bunch of folks that, you know, are more Southern, maybe I talk more that way. And
you read the room.
Yeah, you read the room. Yeah. You know, that's what codependent people do. But but you know, it's kind of human nature. But yeah, I mean, I'm a lot closer to a redneck, I think.
I'll accept it because I know it's meant as a loving compliment.
No, it's a loving thing.
But
yeah.
I do.
No,
remember,
it's an endearing thing.
It is an endearing, exactly. Right. And I remember very specifically that for a long time there was this guy that would always call me country boy. Like, he would always refer to me as a country boy.
I bet you love that.
And like, I'm like, I am in no way a country boy.
I bet you just chafed at that.
I mean, like, you know, I loved this guy, but I was just kind of like, it always rubbed me a little wrong. Like, what have I done or said that makes you think, like, if I was left out in the country, I would die.
It's like, don't you drive like a Subaru or something, you know? like a Toyota Camry or something?
Yeah. I don't even care about cars. That's how you know I'm not a country boy.
Man, that's great. We are happy, James, to be your crazy couple of Mississippi rednecks every week.
Absolutely.
Please come. You don't have to have your passport to visit Mississippi.
No, man, bring your dog on down, too.
They just released you to where you can actually travel to our state without having a tetanus shot.
That's right.
If you wear shoes, you'll be treated like royalty, and we do have some of the best fried chicken on earth.
Oh, man. So, yeah, if you could bring those shoes in, man, we'd love to take a look at them. I got a cousin down in Louisiana. He's got some shoes that he got for Easter one year.
Now we're going to lose our Mississippi listeners. Like that. We're just crossing off states.
I just want to make sure. And I'm living up to what the expectations of what has been put out for. I've kind of crossed my Southern accent a couple different ways there in the midst of it. You got to pick one and go with it. I couldn't do it.
Roll Tide.
No.
that's the other state.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Yeah, that's the other state.
go Tigers. Mm-hmm. That's the other one, too. All right, guys. Thank y'all so much for this listener feedback.
Yeah, this was great. This is great. A bunch of good stuff on Twitter also. Pappy Joe, he says, you know, I'm sitting here talking about how much we love whiskey, and I'm drinking a bottle of Miller High Life.
I told you'd be judged for that.
And that's okay. I own up to it. It is the champagne of beers, and I'm unrepentant about liking it. Got several nice photos of folks smoking their Bing's favorites and a few noteworthy memes as well.
Yeah,
so.
Kurt found a picture of John David chilling out in an armchair smoking his pipe. It says, John David Cole, a hot piece of ash.
So. I mean, you know, someone's got to be it, right?
I mean, someone does.
It's my world. Y'all are just living in it. All right. our friend Hochter, the love doctor, he says, Silver Gray, who is Brad Pullman's fiance, is another great female carver. Maybe down the road we could do an Ode to Female Carvers episode. So something to think about. I think that'd be a lot of fun. You know, we talked about Scotty Purcell, and you know, there are a bunch of good female carvers out there that are extremely talented.
Mm-hmm. So. Oh, that's a great idea for a show. Actually, yeah. I had somebody randomly ask if we were going to do a kind of a female pipe smokers centric show at one point.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's a great idea.
It may require us to have a female pipe smoker on the show.
I think that has to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and we've done interviews before.
No, we have.
But we should definitely do a show like that in the future for
that's
sure.
Good. Yeah.
We want to encourage you guys, by the way, to join us for the live show when you get a chance. CountrySquareRadio.com on Monday nights is where we do it. That is at 8:30 p.m. Central Time, 6:30 Pacific, 9:30 Eastern. We also want to encourage you to hook us up with some listener feedback. We love getting those in. A great way to do it is by heading over to iTunes.
That helps us a lot on iTunes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Write us a review. It's a great thing to do. It doesn't cost you a dime to do it. But if you do want to help out the show by spending a few dimes, we want to encourage you to head over to patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio where you can become a patron. Just a little bit is a dollar an episode. We'll help out the show and also give you access to our full archive of over 200 episodes of Country Squire Radio for your listening pleasure. If those of you who want to go even further, join the club. We're just about four or five members away from being able to open up the Squire's Club online, which should be...
I'm really excited about it. There's going to be so much gold on there.
Oh, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be great.
I see that the Meme Monday has already been embraced.
And inaugurated.
I'm
right.
telling you, man.
Okay, good.
It's going to be crazy. But yeah, so do that again. Patreon.com/CountrySquireRadio, or you can find that information at CountrySquireRadio.com. You can also follow us throughout the week. You can follow me. I'm at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop @_CountrySquire.
And again, all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. All right,
dude, man. I had fun tonight, man. I got to talk for like 30 minutes about my favorite pipe shape. I mean, that's just great.
That's just good. It's good.
I think I need to buy another one. I think I need an American hand-carved Bing's favorite.
How many Bing's pipes do you have?
No, just two. Just two.
Just two?
Yeah, that I can remember.
All right. Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Hey, maybe time to add a third.
No, it might be. I'm Absolutely. Just saying there's a bunch of really talented carvers out there that would do a great job.
Absolutely, man. All right, well, hey, let's go have a happy 4th of July and go have a night.
Happy Independence Day, Bo. See you, buddy.
You've been listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.